Hare Krishna. So welcome to our last session for today. Now yesterday we discussed about how karma functions, what is prakriti, and based on what we get the next life. We understood how prakriti is made up of three modes of nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna and tamaguna. They are based on the modes of nature. Sat asat yoni janmasu bhunte prakritir jayir gunan karanam gunasangasya sat asat yoni janmasu. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the next life is dependent on what kind of modes in which we are living in, what kind of modes we conduct our life. If we conduct our life in mode of goodness, uddham gacchanti sattvastha madhyatishtanti rajasa jyotinyajo gacchanti tamasa. If we conduct our life in mode of goodness, then we go to higher planet systems, higher species. If we conduct our life in mode of passion, then we get a human life of the middle planetary systems. And if we conduct our life in mode of ignorance, then we lower species of life. That is why it is very important to choose what mode we stay in, what mode we conduct our activities in. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction that we understood yesterday. The reaction just may not be within this life. It can be next life also, it can be next to next life also. That is why sometimes whatever bad activities or sinful activities what we have done in the previous life or the lifetimes, we are experiencing now. So there is no time scale when this is going to be fructified. It depends on what kind of karma we are doing. Depending on that, we get reactions in this life or the next life at any time. So some people have this idea that by doing some good activities or pious activities, I can nullify the impious or the sinful activities. It doesn't happen like that. We need to experience both good and bad. So every action, whether good or bad, has to be experienced. We get the example of a dog, where in the previous human life, he did only bad activities, for that he not only had to take the birth of the dog, but also suffer having an accident. The other dog, you find it's enjoying, but actually it has done both sinful activities and some piety, for which, for the sins, the soul had to experience the birth of a dog. At the same time, because of some piety, it is enjoying. So both the pious and sinful activities have to be experienced, either this life or any other life. There is no question of getting out of this. Now, generally people have this idea that there are two kinds of activities, good and bad. But Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he talks about something beyond these two. So what is that? That is known as akarma. Yesterday we discussed about akarma. What is the meaning of akarma? Akarma means that activity which is beyond good and bad are those activities which do not have any reactions. And what are those activities? It is the same activities what you do. But when these activities are done keeping Krishna in center, then those activities are known as akarma. It can be anything. Whatever normally you are doing in your life, just do the same thing. You don't have to do anything different. But you keep Krishna in center. If you are doing your business, keep Krishna in center and do business. If you are singing, keep Krishna in center and do the singing. Do it for Krishna. So in this way, when somebody performs his activities detailed in Krishna, for Krishna, then that becomes Karma Yoga. But gradually, when somebody performs Karma Yoga, then his attachment to Krishna increases. When the attachment to Krishna increases, then the activities performed with an attachment to Krishna, that is known as Bhakti Yoga. So this Bhakti Yoga basically consists of 9 activities. Yesterday we spoke to you about these 9 activities. Out of these 9, 2 are the most important. Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishwasmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. In these 9, the 2, the top one, Sharanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, that is the most important. Now hearing and chanting is included in one activity called Japa, which we taught you yesterday. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra was introduced to you and we all chanted one round. And I requested all of you to do a homework of chanting 2 rounds. And I expect all of you have done it completely. So today is a practical application of Bhagavad Gita. Now when we talk of practical application, generally it comes to 2 things. Number 1, what I am supposed to do, what I am not supposed to do. Some do's and some don'ts. So what are the do's and what are the don'ts? That is what we are going to discuss today. And not only we are going to discuss what are the do's and what are the don'ts, we are going to discuss why we should do it and why we should not. And not only we are going to discuss why, we are going to discuss how also. There are primarily three questions in the entire subject matters, in any related to anything. What are the three questions? What to do, why to do, how to do. So today is the point where we are going to discuss what to do, why to do, and how to do. As simple as that. First we'll talk about what to do. But before we actually talk about what to do and what not to do, then we'll actually discuss about how. Practical application is a very important aspect of Bhagavad Gita. It is like you know, but if you don't act on it, then it is called still ignorance. Pashyannavima pashyati. Even though seeing, you are not seeing. Even though knowing, you are not knowing. Even though hearing, not hearing. Like the famous example which I always give is, a person who is taking a cigarette out of a cigarette packet. So on the cigarette packet, it is written, cigarette smoking is injurious to health. It is cancerous. It is written there. But still he smokes. And you ask the person, do you want to injure your health? He says, no. What do you call this? And he is reading on the packet, it's still there. But in spite of reading it, he smokes. In spite of he not wanting to injure his health, he smokes. So this is called ignorance. So one should get out of this ignorance. One should practically apply Bhagavad Gita in one's life. That is why practical application is very important. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam deham svijnanavidum vakshyami asheshitaha yatjnatva naya bhukhyan nijnatavyam avishishyate. I am explaining to you both knowledge and practical knowledge, realized knowledge. Jnanam deham, I will explain to you jnana. Along with jnana, I am explaining to you vijnana. Jnanam deham svijnanavidum vakshyami, I am telling you. Once knowing this, bhuhyanya jnatavyam avashishyate. There is nothing else to be known. Like if you have a college. In a college, you have some arts section and you have science section. The science students have to spend more hours in the college. Why? Because they are practicals. That is why science is known as vijnan. Realized knowledge, practical knowledge. Some people have this idea. Oh, Bhagavad Gita is just a book of knowledge. It is not just a book of knowledge. It's a book of scientific knowledge which has to be experimented onto yourself and conduct your life according to Bhagavad Gita. It is not just some philosophy, just sit together and then discuss some philosophy and just conduct your life as you were before. No, it is not just meant for armchair philosophers, just to do some intellectual entertainment. It is meant to practically apply in our life. That is why some people have this idea, oh, Bhagavad Gita is just a book of knowledge, it's just theory, that's all. Now some people have this idea, okay, Bhagavad Gita is practical, but it was practical 5,000 years back, not now. No, it was 5,000 years back where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That was applicable at that time. Now we are in the modern times, the times have changed. So it is not applicable now. No. Bhagavad Gita is the eternal scripture. As much as it was applicable 5,000 years back, even today also Bhagavad Gita has the same significance. Thousands and thousands of people are practicing, experiencing the same thing. Like Arjuna. Arjuna before the battlefield of Kurukshetra, as you know, when the two armies were stationed, Arjuna told Krishna, I want to see who are there to fight. Please take the chariot between the two armies. Senayor Ubhyor Madhye Ratan Sthapayam Yachyuta. O Achyuta, O Krishna, please take this chariot between the two armies. When Krishna took the chariot between the two armies, then what happened? Arjuna, all his relatives, all his teachers, grandfather, like kind of people, friends, brothers, everybody were there opposing him. And just imagine what happened to Arjuna. His whole body started trembling and his hands could not hold the Gandiva. and his whole body, whole senses got started burning, and his throat got choked up. He experienced all the symptoms of stress to such an extent. Gandiva was so dear to Arjuna that he had taken a vow. Arjuna had taken a vow. Anybody who tells me to give up Gandiva, I am going to kill him. But it so happened that on the battlefield once, there was a heavy fight between one of the days, it was an 18-day war, one of the days there was a heavy fight between Yudhishthir and Duryodhana. In the heavy fight, what happened, Yudhishthir had to run away from the battlefield. Arjuna came to know that Yudhishthir in difficulty. So he came running to the camp where Yudhishthir Maharaj was there. So he came running. As soon as Arjuna entered the room where Yudhishthir Maharaj was there, Yudhishthir Maharaj told Arjuna, "Thank you very much. You defeated Karna, you defeated Duryodhana and came." Then Arjuna told, "No, I have not defeated them. Still the war is going on. I just came to inquire whether you are okay or not." Then Yudhishthir told, "What kind of brother you are? In spite of you hearing that your brother was humiliated, you did not defeat them, you did not teach a lesson and you came. Better you give up your Gandiva." And Yudhishthir Maharaj told, "Who is Yudhishthir? Arjuna's own brother. And Arjuna had taken a vow that I am going to kill anybody who says, give up Gandiva." Now Arjuna is in perplexity. He had taken a vow. So then he actually took his sword. Because he had taken a vow. At the same time, Yudhishthir his brother. Then the time Krishna appeared. Then he told Arjuna, "Oh, fulfill your vow, kill him." Then Arjuna was perplexed, what to do now? Then Krishna compassionately told, "Okay, you tell your brother, you are taking a vow, then you are going to kill. For a Kshatriya, insult is worse than killing. What you do? You tell what kind of brother I have." Arjuna told, "What kind of brother I have who showed his back to the enemy and ran away?" And he told, and immediately paid obeisances. And then he went to fight in the war. Just imagine that Arjuna, who was so attached to Gandiva, just before the war, what happened to him? Gandiva slipped down from his hand. Like a young child, small child, or a student, when he goes to the examination hall, he sees the question paper. The first question, "I know, but difficult." Second one, "I don't know the answer." The third one, "Out of syllabus or what?" By the time what has happened, something happens in the stomach. And the pen also is slipping from the hand. So, whether it is Arjuna, whether it is student who is giving examination, or a person who is giving an interview, everybody undergoes or faces some situation in life where they are tensed up, where they are under stress. They are totally in stress. Now how can you tell that Bhagavad Gita is not applicable now? Because whatever condition Arjuna was there, we also experience sometimes in our life. That is actually the time we are tested. Now it was Bhagavad Gita which helped Arjuna to come out of this condition. The same Arjuna who told, "Nayutsaiti kodva utva tushti bhuvaha, nayutsai say, I am not going to fight." The same Arjuna, after hearing the entire Bhagavad Gita, he told, "Karishye vachanam tava." And that is the effect of Bhagavad Gita. So we find Bhagavad Gita is as practical as it was 5,000 years back. It is practical today and it will be practical after 5,000 years. Actually, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is the only thing which is practical. Whatever knowledge we get on these days, what is the use of the practicality? There is no practicality in that. Now, as a student studying the science, oxygen, hydrogen makes water. Even if you don't know, still you are getting water and drinking water. So, those who are not studying science also, they are experiencing water, they are experiencing the taste of water. So, what is so practical in that? Real practicality is when situations, tough situation comes in life, how to face that? We are so much interested in studying so many subject matters, physics, chemistry, mathematics, but we are forgetting to study life. And we are leading our life without studying what life is. That is the biggest problem these days. We are trying to study matter so much, but we are not studying life. That is why we are messing up our life. As much as a student would go into a laboratory without knowing what is chemical, what is chemistry, what happens? Some gases will come and will mess up the entire laboratory and his own life also. His life will be in danger. In the same way, if we enter the laboratory of our life without knowing what life is, what is going to happen? We'll mess up our life. That is why Bhagavad Gita is a textbook for life. It is a textbook for life. As much as somebody operates a machine without reading the manual, what will happen? He'll spoil the machine. In the same way, if somebody operates his own life, conducts his life without knowing Bhagavad Gita, which is the manual for life, then he'll mess up the life. It is a very simple thing. You don't have to be a scholar or very intelligent to understand it. It's a very simple thing. Without reading the manual, operating the machine would spoil the machine. The same way, without reading Bhagavad Gita, without understanding Bhagavad Gita, if we conduct our life, we'll mess up our life. So that is why Bhagavad Gita has to be practical. Is practical. And some people say, it is true, Bhagavad Gita is practical, but it is for renunciates. Those who have given up their family life, those who are monks, and those who are like in Himalayas or in some forest, it is for them. But I am in household affairs. I have to do my job, I have to do my business. It is not practical for me. So once I give up my job and family, then I'll practice Bhagavad Gita, then I'll read Bhagavad Gita. But at that time you should understand. Those should understand. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to whom? Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. Arjuna was the most responsible person at the time he was the king. Number two, Arjuna had four wives. He was a grihastha. He was a householder. Now, if the first student of Bhagavad Gita is the most responsible person in the grihastha, where does the argument go that I will study Bhagavad Gita only when I renounce? No. Bhagavad Gita is meant for the most responsible person. We cannot execute responsibilities without studying Bhagavad Gita. And not only that, it is meant for a householder. It is not just meant for some renunciates. So very proof is the student of Bhagavad Gita, the first student of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna. That is why some people argue, okay, when I become a monk, I'll read Bhagavad Gita. When I give up my family life, then when I retire, I'll read Bhagavad Gita. No. Actually, Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the middle of the battlefield. That shows our life is also like a battle. And it is the most emergency, if at all any emergency is there in our life, that is to study Bhagavad Gita. There is no other emergency. This is the only emergency we have. Because if we don't read, then the life is at stakes. As much as in the battlefield, life is at stakes. So our life is at stakes if we don't study Bhagavad Gita. That is why the emergency situation is there. So we need to take up, better late than never, immediately one should take up the study of Bhagavad Gita and conduct one's life according to the principles of Gita. This is a practical application. Now, after discussing why we have to practically apply Bhagavad Gita, then we'll go to what we are supposed to do. Now, when you talk about what we are supposed to do, we should understand that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru maami vaishya satyante pratijane priyosime. This verse in the Bhagavad Gita is known as Gita Rahasya. It is known as secret. Though millions and millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita are there, being printed and distributed to thousands and millions of people around the world, but the secret, it is a secret. What is the secret? The secret is, in spite of all people reading Bhagavad Gita, they don't understand what exactly Krishna wanted to tell Arjuna. What is the secret? The secret is very simple. Man mana bhava mad bhaktaha. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, madhyaji, worship me, maam namaskuru, pay obeisances to me. In this way, Krishna explained the Gita Rahasya to all of us in this verse. But now, in spite of Krishna explaining the entire Bhagavad Gita, speaking the Bhagavad Gita, what has happened is nobody studied it. Very few people took it up. Even if somebody studied, they did not understand. Even somebody understood, they did not practically apply in their life. That is why the same Krishna had to appear just 500 years back in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like when yesterday I gave you the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna Mantra. Before you chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra, you chanted one mantra called Panchatattva Pranam Mantra. In that Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, you have Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So same Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how did he come? In the form of his own devotee. Because Krishna just gave a lecture on Bhagavad Gita. Just giving a lecture would not make people understand. So he wanted to practically show how to practice Bhagavad Gita in one's life. Like for example, if you give a lecture to people, how to make halwa, or how to make some eatable, or some item. So if you give a lecture, after that you ask everyone, go and make it, they'll not be able to make it. So if you take them to the kitchen, and then show them this is how you should do, after that they would make it. In the same way, Krishna just gave a lecture on Bhagavad Gita. But now, in the same Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taught us how to practically apply Bhagavad Gita in one's life by accepting the principles of Bhagavad Gita within himself. By himself he accepted. That means Krishna came in the form of his own devotee and then showed to us how to perform devotion. Actually, devotion is what? Love for Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed that what love means, what love of God means. He was constantly in tears, constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And he executed the principles of devotional service and then showed to the entire world how to practically conduct Bhagavad Gita in our life, how to practically apply Bhagavad Gita in our life. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was explaining to Goswami, he says there are 64 items of devotional service. 64 points he told about what we are supposed to do. But after speaking about the 64 points, he says among all the 64, 5 are the most important. They are known as the Pancha Mahasadhana. So these 5 are the do's of the Bhagavad Gita. So let us discuss what these 5 are. The first one among the 5 is Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees. Number 2 is to chant the names of Krishna, that is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, that is known as Harinam. The third one is Bhagavat Path. Bhagavat Path means studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The fourth one is Dham Vas, residing in a holy place. The fifth one is Sri Vigraha Shraddhaya Sevan, that is serving the deities of the Lord. Now let us see how to do these 5 things in our life. The first one, Sadhu Sangha. What is the meaning of Sadhu Sangha? Sadhu Sangha means to associate with devotees. Let us understand what is Sadhu. What is the meaning of Sadhu? Sadhu means a devotee of Krishna. He is called Sadhu. But how do you identify who is a Sadhu, who is not a Sadhu? A person is identified by his qualities, isn't it? That is what we discussed on the third day of our course. Any person is identified by his qualities. Not by external features, by his qualities. A sadhu is identified by his qualities. So what are the qualities of sadhu? It is described in the discussion between Devayuti and Kapila. He says that Titikshuha Karunikaha Sura Savdehina Dhata Sattvaha Shanta Sadhuha Sadhubhushnaha. He says Titikshuha. The first and the foremost quality of a sadhu is Titikshuha. Titikshuha means tolerant. One should be tolerant. Or a sadhu is one who is very much tolerant. How he should be tolerant? He should be tolerant like a tree. You see the tree, even you cut the branches of the tree, but still it gives you shade. It still gives you fruits. That is the nature of the tree. The same way the nature of a sadhu is to be tolerant. This is the first principle. Tidichva karunikaha. And a person who has even hurted you, who has done something wrong to you, still you show compassion, still you try to do good to that person, that is called karunikaha. To be compassionate to the person. Tidichva karunikaha. Surda saradehina. Surda saradehina means he is a friend of every living entity. He has no enemies. Ajata shatravaha, he has no enemies. Shanta is very peaceful. Sadhavaha, sadhu bhushana. He conducts his life according to scriptures. He is called a sadhu. And not only that, these features, these qualities are also still external. The most internal quality of a sadhu is that madarte tekta karmana sadarte madarte tekta bhandava. For the sake of Krishna, he is willing to do anything. That is called a sadhu. So we have to associate with sadhus. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that sadhusanga, 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 sarvashastra kahe, lavamatra sadhusanga, sarvasiddhi hoye. Lavamatra sadhusanga, even a little moment's association with a sadhu will attain perfection in life. You may say, how is it that moment's association will attain perfection? It has been seen in the history. In the Bhagavatam, there is a description of a very cruel hunter. His name was Brigari. This Brigari used to take pleasure when the animals used to suffer. Sometimes, not sometimes, many a times, Brigari used to half kill the animals. He is a hunter. He used to go and then just shoot an arrow to such an extent, the animals would just bleed and suffer, they would not die. And they would suffer, seeing them suffering, he used to take great pleasure. Once, Narada was walking through the forest where Brigari was hunting. Since he was walking, there were some animals which were hiding in the bush. Then these animals, because of the movement of Narada, Narada walking, they all ran away. Then the hunter became very angry. He came, "Who is he? Who drove away all my animals?" As soon as he saw Narada, Narada was a very exalted personality. This hunter immediately bowed down to Narada. Because the presence of Narada itself made him bow down to him. Then immediately Narada asked this hunter, "What are you doing?" The hunter told, "It is my business. This is how I conduct my livelihood. I am hunting animals." Then Narada showed these animals and told, "Okay, if you want to kill them, why don't you kill them completely? Why are you half killing them?" Then Brigari told that actually when these animals struggle for their life, when I look at them, I feel very happy. Then Narada explained to him, "But you are doing all these things, but it is going to cause so much of sin for you. It is sinful to do all these things." Because of Narada's sweet instructions, Brigari, he accepted. "Okay, but point is, if I don't hunt, then how am I going to sustain my life?" Then Narada told, "You don't have to do sinful activities to sustain your life. You give up your hunting and take up Krishna consciousness, then automatically Krishna will take care of you." So then, hearing to Narada's words, this hunter, he left. Then, one day, Narada and Parvat Muni, his friend, they were walking through the same area after a few months. What had happened during this time was, this hunter along with family, his wife and children, they gave up hunting in the forest. They just started doing Krishna bhajan. They started chanting the holy names of the Lord. And there, in and around the whole place, the village, they came to know that Brigari was so cruel hunter. What he has become now? He has become a sadhu. He has become very good. He has stopped hunting. And he gave up his cruel nature. Then immediately all the people, they wanted to see, what is he doing now? When they all came to see this hunter, Brigari, this Brigari was chanting the names of the Lord, he is worshipping Krishna. Then they all thought, okay, how is he sustaining his life? Let us give some gifts to him. So they start bringing rice and dal and fruits and vegetables and all. Then Brigari thought, what is this? I am getting so much and it is not required for me. So what he did was, whatever he got, he cooked. And then whoever came to their house, he started feeding them. When he started feeding them, the news spread to other villages. Hey, this cruel hunter has become a sadhu. And now he is just involved in worshipping the Lord. And not only that, you go, when you go to his place, not only you get to hear the names of Krishna, not only you get to have darshan of deities, you also get prasadam. Let us go. More and more people came. They give more and more gifts. More and more donations came. In this way, there is practically ISKCON center in the middle of the village. This is what happens in ISKCON center. Beautiful deities, there is darshan of the deities, nice kirtan and prasadam. And some philosophy, that's all. So in this way, Mrigali started a nice, wonderful program in the middle of the village. And then Narad Muni and Parvat Muni were walking by. Then what happened? He got the news that Narada is coming, my spiritual master is coming. So Mrigali started running towards Narada. And there, he paid obeisance. He was about to pay obeisance, he was doing something strange. Then Narada asked, what are you doing? Mrigali told, when I pay obeisance, I saw there were some ants. I'm trying to avoid them, I don't want to kill them. So that I don't kill them. But just see, the same Mrigali who was taking pleasure, when he saw the struggle of for life, the animals struggling for their life, the same Mrigali is now, doesn't want even to kill an ant. Why this happened? It is because of Sadhu Sangha. It is because of association of devotees. Now we may say, oh, that is all in the books, in the Puranas. But nowadays where? It has been seen practically in the life of Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he went to America at the age of 69. At the age of 70, he went to America. At that time in America, in 1965-66, the hippie culture was very much prominent. What is hippie culture? Hippie culture means anybody above 30 is useless to society. We don't want to associate with them. And they were 24 hours engrossed themselves in drugs, intoxication. And they used all kinds of anything and everything they would eat. So that kind of people they were. Now by the association of Prabhupada, the same people who used to involve in eating cow meat, they now don't even eat onion garlic. The same people who used to take drugs, LSDs, and they used to be always intoxicated, the same people now, they have given up total intoxication, including tea and coffee. So we find Sadhu Sangha. The association of Sadhu is so much that it transforms the life of a person. Actually, association matters a lot in everyone's life. I always remember in my childhood, whenever I used to play, go down and play, and used to come back to the house, my mother used to ask me, who all you are playing with? If she found I was playing with some notorious boy, immediately she would scold me. She would not allow me to go next day to play with him. Because it is a saying in English, you tell me who is your friend, I'll tell you who you are. Because the person whom you associate with, there is a tremendous influence of the consciousness of the person unto you. That is why, if you really want to be careful in your life, just be careful about this one aspect that will make your life very successful. Whom you are making friends with, whom you are associating with, that is the turning point in your life. If you are associating with somebody who is a drunkard, you will also become a drunkard. If you are associating with somebody who is a bad person, you will also become a bad person. So that is why, if somebody wants to become a devotee of Krishna, the first and the foremost principle is associating with devotees. So now, Srila Prabhupada says, the entire purpose of our temples is to give association to devotees. That is the whole purpose of Krishna Consciousness Movement. Srila Prabhupada opened temples of Krishna, Radha Krishna around the world. Like you go even in Australia, you will find a Krishna temple. You go to African jungles, you will go and you will find there's a small setup of ISKCON temple, Radha Krishna temple. You go to Mexico, you will find. You go to China, you find. You go to Pakistan, you find. Wherever you go, you will find. Why? What is the purpose of this thing? The whole purpose is a platform where people can come and associate with devotees. That is the purpose of the temple. Like you have a beautiful temple in Colombo, a nice temple is being built in Colombo. What is the purpose of the temple? The purpose is devotees should go there and associate among each other. Association of the devotees, that is the purpose of the entire International Study for Krishna Consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada created these temples for this purpose. That is why one has to go to these temples and associate amongst each other and associate with devotees. Now, you may say, okay, associate with devotees, what is the practical you have for us so that we can associate with devotees? When you see association, this association with devotees are in these three levels. The first level of association is to associate with Srila Prabhupada. Because there is no sadhu which the world has seen in the recent past who is as efficient as Prabhupada. As wonderful as Srila Prabhupada. And how do we associate Prabhupada? Well, we can associate with Srila Prabhupada by associating with his mission. So one has to associate with Srila Prabhupada by associating with mission. What is the mission? The mission of Srila Prabhupada is to propagate Krishna consciousness around the world. So somehow or other, if you are connected to the mission of Srila Prabhupada by doing some service, like you all just come for the first time, most of you, to a Krishna conscious program, at least you can tell, oh, there is a nice temple here, let us go, why don't you go there? Somehow connecting one more person to Krishna, giving Krishna to one more person, gifting a Bhagavad Gita to a person. In this way, you are engaging, you are associating with Srila Prabhupada. Because the mission of Srila Prabhupada was that somehow or other, if people in this world take Krishna consciousness, the world will be a better place for us to live. And one has to associate with Srila Prabhupada in participating in the preaching mission of Krishna consciousness. Even a child can participate in it. Even an old man can do it. Anybody and everybody can take part in it. It is not the responsibility of few monks or few sadhus who are staying in the temple to preach Krishna consciousness. That has to be done by everyone. By doing so, Srila Prabhupada, you are constantly with Srila Prabhupada. The first level of association. The second level of association is to attend a weekly program which happens in the temple and in the nearby places in your city, in your town. So this is association of an advanced Vaishnava who has some more experience of scriptures, who are learned in scriptures. So we have this kind of programs going on in the temple, in the places around, which information which will be given to you in a written piece of paper at the end, where you can attend a weekly program or a program which happens twice a week or something like that. In this way, you can associate with a sadhu, associate with a senior Vaishnava, and then take some practical guidance how to progress in Krishna consciousness, how to study Bhagavad Gita. That is why we have Bhagavad Gita classes going on in a few places, and also we have a beautiful program which happens in temple every Sunday in the afternoon. Of course, that is in Tamil. So those who can understand Tamil, they can go and attend the program. And in this way, one can associate with a sadhu and then take practical guidance from him. Now the third association is the most important. What is the most important? The third association? The third association is to actually be friends with only devotees. Others, you can be friendly. There's a lot of difference considering one person to be a friend and being friendly. So there are so many people whom you can be friendly with. Even there may be a person who is an atheistic person. You show some friendly nature to him. Okay, hi, hello, that's all. But to consider another person to be a friend, that should be only among devotees. That should be among those people who are committed for Krishna consciousness. If you make friendship, and if you consider an atheistic person as your friend, then wherever he takes you, will go. If you consider some drunkard as your friend, then he goes to a bar and you become obliged to him, you'll also go to a bar. Actually, devotee is not obliged to anyone. Devotee is only obliged to Krishna and Krishna conscious devotees. That is why we should be very careful about whom we are making friendship with. So that doesn't mean you are having some envious or evil attitude or enemical attitude towards others. You can be friendly with everyone, isn't it? Like sometimes you travel in the train or the flight, and I also travel, I may be friendly with everyone, but I don't consider them to be my friends. There's a distinction between that. So a sadhu is friendly to everyone. At the same time, he is very careful whom he makes a friend. So in this way, only devotees should be your friends. Even though you may have a very close relative, but he is very demoniac and against Krishna consciousness. You may be friendly towards that person, but you should consider, he is not my friend, she is not my real friend. My real friend is one who is devoted to Krishna. In this way, we have three levels of sadhu sangha. One is associating with Srila Prabhupada through his mission. Number two is attending at least a weekly program which happens in the temple or the place around you and learn Bhagavad Gita from advanced Vaishnava. And the third one is to have a friendship among yourself. Sometimes we have an idea, sadhu means one who is wearing some saffron dress, one who is some shaved off his head. No, it is not the case. A sadhu is identified by his qualities. So by the qualities, you can understand that this person is sadhu and you can associate with that person. That is why it's very important to associate with sadhus at these three levels. So this is what we are supposed to do. First one, that is sadhu sangha. Now the second one, that is harinam, chanting the names of Krishna. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what has been given to you yesterday. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is 99% of the spiritual progress is based on chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. There is no other process as important as chanting the holy names of the Lord. Our spiritual progress is dependent 99% on chanting. Rest all other activities is just 1%. That is why one should chant. There are so many other processes of self-realization, but that is not meant for the age of Kali. Kriteye dhyayato vishnum. In the age of Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, people used to do dhyan. Go to the forest and do all kinds of ashtanga and the yogic practices. But that is not possible now, because our mind is so disturbed. And for that, you practice some that kind of yoga, you need to go to forest. You need to be renounced. But in the age of Kali, we are in such a fallen condition that there is no scope for doing all these things. Kalo tadhari kirtana. It is only kirtan in the age of Kali. It is only the names of Krishna that is going to help us. That is why all the Vedic literatures are indicating towards it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti shodakshara nam nam kalikalmashanashanam natat paradurorpayaha sarvedesh krishyate. Sarvedesh krishyate. All the Vedic literatures are indicating towards this thing. To chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Natat paradurorpayaha. There is no other upaya. There is no other plan or remedy. There is no other thing other than in the age of Kali for self-realization, other than the chanting the names of the Lord. That is why one has to chant the names of Krishna, specifically the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Actually, regarding Hare Krishna Mahamantra, yesterday I have spoken to you that when you are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there are only two things which you have to take care of. Number one, what is it? You have to see whether you are chanting every syllable properly or not. Number two, you just have to see whether you are hearing every syllable properly or not. These are the only two considerations, that's all. And what time you want to chant, that is up to you. Though best time is to chant in the morning, whenever you get the free time, you have to chant. But at the same time, you should know that at that time of chanting, you should not do anything else. That is why we find Srila Prabhupada went with a pair of kartals. That's all. He started chanting and the influence was so much tremendous that even those people were so much into drugs just by hearing the pure holy names of the Lord, they all got purified. That is so much so that even though the name of the society is known as ISKCON, we are not known as ISKCON. We are actually known as Hare Krishnas. Why? Because we always chant the name of Krishna. To such an extent that people identify as, you are a Hare Krishna person. Why you are a Hare Krishna person? Because we always chant. Even somebody calls the phone, we say Hare Krishna. There is a very nice sticker which is available. Generally in India, we sell it in our temple. That sticker says, Hi, hello, chodo, Hare Krishna. Isn't it? you to such an extent you sometimes you know get angry on somebody you say Hare Krishna Prabhu. You know, you want to express anger you say Hare Krishna. So that is how devotees become so intoxicated with chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Even still today, whenever we go anywhere in the world, even in the airport also, wherever you go around the world, people say, oh, you are Hare Krishna person. I was just, as soon as I landed in Colombo, I was the last person to get on the flight. So then, I just came out of the flight. I just saw there are a few Sri Lankan airport authorities, they were coming inside the flight to clean or something like that. They belong to the lower category of workers or something like that. Okay. So they saw me and then told, Hare Krishna. Then I was like, oh, wonderful. Isn't it? Anywhere in the world you go, your people recognize you as Hare Krishna. Why? Because you constantly chant Hare Krishna. Nimita smaranena kala. There is no rules and regulations. There is no question of any time restriction. Oh, I am a lady, can I chant or not? Now, I just came from funeral, can I chant or not? Oh, I am in the bathroom, can I chant or not? Everywhere, in any place, you can chant. Once what's happened, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to morning activities, going to the toilet, morning. At that time, he was holding his tongue and going. Then one small boy asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? And Mahaprabhu told, you see, my tongue constantly chants names of Krishna. So I am going to the toilet. It is an inauspicious place. So chanting the names of the all auspicious person in that place is not good. So that is why I am holding my tongue. Then this small boy, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when you go to the toilet and you have held your tongue and you are not chanting, at that time if you leave your body, then Mahaprabhu became very much happy to hear this small boy, his name was Gopal. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, from today your name is not just Gopal, you are Gopal Guru, you are my Guru. Because you actually glorified the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, glorified the names of the Lord. It is beyond all auspicious and inauspiciousness of this world. It is a transcendental thing. Actually, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it contains the topmost perfection which anybody can achieve. That is, Krishna Prema is embedded in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is why one has to chant. There are two ways of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. A devotee should involve in both the ways. One is by Sankirtan. When devotees get together and then do Kirtan with Nudan Kartal. And in this way what happens? Not only you will be benefited by your chanting, you will be benefited by others chanting. Suppose you are chanting alone. You are chanting and you are hearing only one mantra. But chanting with others, 10 devotees, what happens? You will be hearing the chanting of all the 10. Isn't it? So that is how Sankirtan is a very important activity. So whenever you go to temple, especially Sundays as I have told, if you come to temple around 12 o'clock or 12:30, there will be aarti which goes on. Along with the aarti, devotees do Kirtan, Sankirtan. So everybody should take part in the Sankirtan. And not only that, when you come to the weekly program, everybody get together into the Kirtan. And here, every time you come in the beginning of the class, you find there is a Kirtan going on. So this is one way of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And the other way of chanting is that which you do it every day in your house. That is by the Japamala. You sit at one place and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is how you do the kirtan, you do the meditation. And some people say, oh, I am meditating. But the process of meditation in the age of Kali which is described is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is the only thing which has brought out results in the entire world. When people start chanting, they give up all kinds of sinful activities and they take a pure life of Krishna consciousness. In this way, we discussed about the second aspect, that is chanting. The third thing is to read books of Srila Prabhupada. Read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. You may say, oh, I am chanting, why I should read? I heard some philosophy, that's enough. But it is not enough. One has to read. Because when you read, what happens, so many doubts which come in our own mind and in the mind of others, they can be slashed. Jnana sanchinna sanchayam. The sword of knowledge cuts the doubts. That is why one constantly has to read. Every day he has to read. Every day a person should read Bhagavad Gita. Because the Maya is so strong, Maya means the material nature is so strong, that it brings on some strange ideas. Now, why I should take it up now? After some time, some problems have come. After solving the problems, I'll take up Krishna consciousness. I'll take up chanting. It is like saying that now I am not well, after I become okay, then I'll take the medicine. This foolishness. How? If you're not well, that is why you should take the medicine. To say that now I've got a lot of responsibilities, so many problems are there, I'll solve all the problems and then take a Krishna consciousness. It is foolishness. It is the right time to take a Krishna consciousness. So the mind gives some strange ideas, different ideas the mind gives. And also when you go in the society, many people ask you questions. Hey, what are you doing? Why are you not doing this thing? Why did you do that thing? So, there are some strange questions. You should be equipped with the philosophy to answer them. So, how will you be equipped? When you read Bhagavad Gita. Because all the questions anybody can raise in any part of the world, the answers are there found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when you read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavatam, you will become so convinced about what you are doing. It is not that you just do, you should know why you are doing it. And not only you be convinced about to yourself, you should have the capacity to convince others about what you are doing is right and what you are doing is perfect, and you should convince others to take up this process of Krishna consciousness by the study of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is why we should study. You may say, I study, but I don't understand. No problem. Even if you don't understand, go on studying, because it is Krishna who gives the understanding. The more you go on studying, the more understanding you get. Because Bhagavad Gita is unlimited. It is not just by once reading you will understand. It is not a materialistic book where you just read something and understand and give it up. No. This book, Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna himself. Because Krishna is absolute. Whatever Krishna speaks is also absolute. And it is not different from him. So Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself. So when you read the Bhagavad Gita constantly, and every day, even if you understand or don't understand, Krishna will make you understand. It is like speaking directly to Krishna. Reading Bhagavad Gita is like speaking directly to Krishna. That is why one has to read Bhagavad Gita every day. One has to read Bhagavatam every day. So you can fix up a time, half an hour I'll read, 1 hour I'll read, at least 2 verses I'll read, few verses I'll read, in this way one has to read. And along with that, there are so many lectures available in the internet. You can also download few lectures and hear. Especially there is one website called ISKCON Desiretry. I would like to introduce you to that. ISKCON Desiretry. You can just remember and go to Google and type. You will get that lecture. There are ample, n number of lectures are there on different subjects. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Just go search that site, download few lectures and you can hear. You can listen online. You can hear on through your mobile if you have good internet connection. So in this way, there are so many ways you can understand Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So one is by reading and also by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, one becomes convinced and progress in Krishna consciousness. Especially the world, outside world is so bad that when you are progressing in Krishna consciousness, it is like going against the flow. It is like going against the flow. Flow of water. Then for that you require a lot of strength. Where do you get the determination, the strength from? As soon as you take a Krishna consciousness, the people who are around you, your friends, your relatives, they are the first people who will come and tell, hey, you got mad or what? All of a sudden they start showing concern to you. Oh, what happened to you? Everything is okay or not? Where you are doing all sinful activities, they told, okay, very good, wonderful, oh nice. But when you took up Krishna consciousness, that is the time they become very, very much anxious. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, why are you doing all these things? This is not the time for you to do. Like when I still remember, just after during my college time, when I was reading Bhagavad Gita, at that time, parents and others who were very, my relatives and all, they became very suspicious about me. Hey, what is this happening to him? And really it was my relationship with them that they were not really bold enough to come and tell me. But my grandmother was very free with me. They thought, She is the only person who can go and tell something to him. So they all told, and my grandmother, go and tell something to him. So I was reading Bhagavad Gita peacefully. My grandmother came, stood in front of me, took the Bhagavad Gita, closed it, kept it aside. And I looked at her and she told me, what is this you are doing? Is this the age to do all these things or what? Then I told, what age I should do? You should do after 50, after 60. So then I told, looked at her, how old are you? She ran away. She was already 60. Just imagine what kind of ignorance people have. Though she was above 60, and she is telling this Bhagavad Gita you should read after 60, what is she thinking about herself? She is 16. She is 16, that is what she is thinking. So this we all think that, oh, after 50, after 60 we will do. No, it is not for that. It is for now. It is for a child, it is for a youth, it is for a young girl, it is for a young woman, man, old man, everybody. So, where will you get the conviction from? Where the whole world, practically if you see, they are against. You taking Krishna consciousness, against Krishna consciousness. But how are you going to show, convince yourself and others that what path you are following is truth? That conviction comes only by studying Bhagavad Gita. That is why one should study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Now this is the third point which we discussed, which we're supposed to do. That is, study of Bhagavad Gita. Now the fourth one. What is the fourth one which you're supposed to do? The fourth activity we're supposed to do is Dhamvas. Dhamvas means residing in a holy place. So that means everybody has to run to Mathura, Vrindavan or Dwarka. Everybody should reside in a holy place. That means around the world people are staying in Africa and different places, they all should come to India and then stay in Mathura or Dwarka. Now staying in a holy place means wherever you are staying, make it a holy place. And how do you make your stay, a place you are staying, a holy place? You can make the place you are staying a holy place when whatever you see in your house reminds you of Krishna. What is the meaning of holy place? A holy place is the place where anything you see reminds you of Krishna. For example, if you go to Vrindavan, you see the river, it reminds you of Krishna's pastimes at Vrindavan. If you see a tree, you see, oh, these trees are sakshi of the pastimes of Vrindavan, pastimes of Krishna. If you see any wall, you will return Jai Shri Radha, it will return. So, Dham is the place, or the holy place is the place, where everything reminds you of Krishna. Now, if you go out in the city of Colombo, what do you remind? You will be reminded of so many different things, on that advertisement, this advertisement. So many different things are you are reminded of. But holy place means what? Your house can be a holy place. How? You should have different pictures of Krishna in your house. Even your computer can become a holy place for you. When you have a screensaver also can be Krishna. See, screensaver, desktop picture can be Krishna. So, wherever, whatever you perceive, there something should remind you of Krishna. That is how you can make your place a holy place. At the same time, we should make sure that at least once a year, we should visit a holy place. Or at least in once in few years, since you are staying away from India, you should visit a holy place. And now you may say that the most important holy place is the temple. Because once you go to temple at least for once a week, when you go to the temple, then what happens? You will carry the power of the holy place to your house. You will carry the power of the holy place to your workplace. In this way, you are always surrounded by great things. That is why one should visit the temple once a week, because Srila Prabhupada expanded the holy places throughout the world. Earlier, people used to come to a holy place as Vrindavan, Dwarka, or Mayapur, or Jagannath Puri, and they think this is the only holy place. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the holy places have expanded. The spiritual embassies have expanded throughout the world. Like every country has an embassy. You just know you have the Australian High Commission here, the Indian High Commission here. In the same way, our ISKCON temples are like a Vrindavan High Commission. The High Commission of Vrindavan in Colombo is there one place, Chettiar, New Chetty Street. So you should go there. There is Vrindavan High Commission or Vrindavan Embassy, whatever it may say. So in this way, the holy places are expanded by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That is why one should do dhammas, reside in the holy place. And the fourth one, or the fifth one, one should do is worshipping the deity of the Lord, worshipping Sri Vigraha. So not everybody can have a deity in their house, but one should have at least some photographs. Photographs of Krishna and the Guru Parampara and Srila Prabhupada. There is a particular way you can set up the altar that when you attend our weekly programs, you will come to know from different Vaishnavas that how to set up your altar in your house and worship them. If you don't have Krishna in your house, it is like a haunted house. You may say, hey, how is it? My man, your house is not haunted. Yes, it is haunted. Because there is one ghost in every house. I don't have to tell what is that. You know very well. What is that? It's a TV. It's a television, isn't it? And it's haunted everyone. To such an extent, child is looking at him. Mother is calling. Then he is not listening also. Don't you think it's haunting? It is haunting only. So it is haunted, this ghost is haunted everyone. That to such an extent, all five people in the family, they are still sitting, but they don't talk to each other, they are looking interesting. Now, somebody told it is an idiot box. But I don't say it is an idiot box, it is an idiot's box. to blame TV, it is not, it is, you don't have to blame TV, it's actually who is totally engrossed in it. And he's become a total idiot out of it. And now all the advertising industries are nicely making an idiot out of him. Because what do they do? They want to sell their products. For that what they do? They make an idiot out of the person. You don't require it, but still they sell it to you. They make you show, they convince you, if you buy this, then you will be happy. You are already happy, but still they will convince you. You have to purchase this, then only you will be happy. So they are making a nice idiot out of you. So it is not idiot box, it is idiot's box. So it is haunted. Now, and there is a big fight going on in every house. Everybody is thinking that they are the center of the house. But the real person, when Krishna comes to the center of the house, when Krishna, who is the real lord of the house, comes there, then everybody, everything is in his place. Otherwise, what people think? The husband thinks, I am earning, so everybody should serve me. Everybody should listen to me. The wife thinks, I am running the house. Everybody should listen to me. The children say, anya mata pita papa humi, you tell you are living for me only. So ultimately you should do whatever I say. So people are fighting among themselves. But when Krishna comes in the center, then the father thinks that, oh, I should serve the Lord. And the wife thinks, though, I should serve the husband because he is serving the Lord. And the children think, oh, my father and mother are serving the Lord. I should obey what they say. In this way, there will be a nice, wonderful atmosphere even in the house when Krishna, when people consider Krishna as Supreme Lord. By the real entrance of Krishna in your house, then everything in the house will fall into place. Otherwise, everybody wants to occupy the position of Krishna. There is a big fight. I want to be the center. I want to be worshipped. In this way, everybody in the house becomes actually a dham. House becomes a place where Krishna resides. One should worship. And not only when you worship Krishna, your life becomes very regulated. You get up early in the morning and do the worship of the Lord, and everything, your whole life schedule becomes regulated. Whatever you eat, offer to Krishna and accept it, that is how your food becomes regulated, your activities, entertainment becomes regulated, everything becomes regulated. That is the power of Sri Vikraha Shraddhaya Sevan. Worshipping the deities of the Lord, our senses are completely under control. Otherwise, the senses go heavy. When the senses are going here and there, they are not controlled. That is the time anger comes, frustration comes. And just imagine, everybody is just haunted by these material desires. Then each one is acting like a ghost. Just imagine, if you go to a Bhut Bangla, what will happen? You will never be happy there. So that is what is the condition of every house is this. Why? Because there is no Krishna. There is no Krishna in the center. That is why one should keep Krishna in the center and then conduct your activities. That happens by worshipping the deities. Of course, there are so many things which can be discussed about it. For now, I explain to you 5 things which you are supposed to do. What are the 5 things? Number 1 is to associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. Number 2 is to chant the names of Krishna. Number 3 is read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Number 4 is dhamvas, make your place a holy place. Number 5 is to worship the deities of the Lord, worship the photographs of the Lord. And this worship may not be very elaborate. It can depend on your time. Whatever time you have, you can minimum, you should do something. At least offer a flower. Like every day, sometimes it so happens that some children, they cannot do elaborate worship. They can have a small photograph of Krishna on the table and offer a flower a day. What does it make? Just imagine, just when you offer a flower to Krishna, just imagine how much Krishna would remember you. When Krishna remembers you whole day, can any harm happen to you? No harm can happen to you. A simple activity of offering flower, simple activity of offering a lamp, lighting a lamp, it can save you from so many big dangers, at least for that day. That is why everybody has to worship the deities, but that can be according to your yatha shakti. Some people who have a lot of time, they do a very elaborate worship. Every day they spend 1 hour, 2 hours in worshipping the deities. Some people that don't have much time, no problem, just spend some minutes. And when you visit the temple, you see the aarti going on. A person who is doing the aarti, whatever benefit he gets, the same amount of the benefit the person who is looking at the aarti also gets. So you can go to temple and then see the aarti. If you are not able to perform elaborate worship at home, then you can get the benefit of elaborate worship just by going to the temple once a week or twice a week, whenever you get time. So in this way, we have a very practical program. And it is not just some theory here. We have thousands and thousands and millions of people around the world who are professionals or businessmen or housewives, who are students. They are practicing Krishna consciousness very sincerely, strictly. It is not just few sadhus are there in temple, they are doing that. We have professionals who are doing it. They have to go to office by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And they finish their Krishna consciousness activity in the morning, they come in the evening and do again. So their whole life is centered around Krishna. It is the most practical program. That is the glory of Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya for this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Without compromising with age-old principles of spirituality, without compromising with that, he gave a practical program for all of us. Nobody can have any excuse of saying, I cannot do it. There is a way, and he has given a practical program for us. Now, we discuss 5 things, what we are supposed to do. Now, there are certain things which you are not supposed to do. And this is also as important as what we are supposed to do. What are the 4 things which we are not supposed to do? Now, before discussing that, I give you a small example. Why, whatever we do, it is only of good credit when only we follow the don'ts. A patient was there, he went to the doctor. The doctor examined him, did the blood test and told, you have got diabetes. So you should take insulin. So doctor gave some tablets, some injections. He told, you come next week. Next week he came and he tested. He found the diabetes have increased. He told, did you take the medicine? Yes, I am taking the medicine. Then the doctor told, why is it increasing? And he later found out that he was eating every day 1/2 kilo peda. So, just by taking the medicine, it's not going to reduce. There is something called parej. There is something called you should avoid. There are certain things which you are supposed to avoid. If you take the medicine, at the same time, if you don't follow some restrictions, then the medicine will not be effective. The same way, if you are doing these 5 activities, but if you are continuing the sinful activities, the 4 sinful activities, then it will not be of much effect. So, what are the 4 sinful activities which you are supposed to avoid? Practically all the sinful activities around the world, whoever can think of, it is basically boiled down to these 4 things. Number 1, meat eating. Number two, intoxication. Number three, illicit sex. Number four, gambling. These are the four things which we are supposed to avoid. Because these four things, they destroy our four pillars of religion. Meat eating destroys mercy, compassion. It is actually compassion and tolerance which actually makes a human society human. When compassion and tolerance is not there, though we call it a society of humans, they're actually a society of animals. So why a society of humans are becoming the society of animals? Because of meat eating. You see, a tiger. Does anybody wants to make a friendship with tiger? No. But a cow, you can go and make friendship. Because the cow is a vegetarian. And a tiger eats what? Non-veg. Because what happens when you eat non-veg is, your mind becomes very passionate. And it takes you to mode of ignorance. And they start behaving like tigers and lions. They cannot be friendly. That is the reason one has to give up this non-vegetarian food and be a vegetarian. That is why no meat eating. And not only that, this meat eating is harmful for our own health. It is very bad for our health. When you go to a doctor with some disease, doctor says, okay, till you get okay, at least for 10 days, don't eat non-veg. Now he has what after that? After that you can eat. Because you have to come back again, no? So, there are so many, if you just go to the internet, you'll find so much of vegetarianism. See that how bad it is for us. Not only it is bad, it is for a human body is not meant to digest meat. There are so many good examples given there that the human intestine is something like 12 times the body length. And the animals, the carnivorous animals, they are only 6 times or 4 times the body length. Because the meat, it rots very fast. That is why the intestinal length is very less. The acidic content in the bile is more in the carnivorous animals. Because it has to burn the meat. But acidic content in the herbivorous animals is very less. And a human body is similar to a herbivorous animal. And you have canines, the teeth, in the carnivorous animal. But we don't have them, isn't it? So, there are so many different features which are there, which the biologists know well about it, doctors know well about it. So, human body is naturally meant to only take vegetarian food. Now here, we are not just proposing that you be a vegetarian. Because a monkey is a vegetarian, isn't it? What's the big thing in being vegetarian? So we are not just saying that you be a vegetarian. We actually advise that we should be Krishnatarian. What is the meaning of that? Nice, wonderful, sattvic food should be cooked, offered to Krishna and accepted as Mahaprasad. When you take it as Mahaprasad, then it purifies you. Because some people argue, okay, you say that we should be vegetarians because we should not kill animals, then you are killing plants. It's also killing, no? Yeah, it is true. You kill plants also, you will get the karmic reaction. But what we do, we just don't just eat directly. We offer to Krishna and accept it as prasadam. And the entire ISKCON is famous just because of prasadam. Especially when I meet few Indians in somewhere in places, they just come and say, "You're ISKCON." Then they would say that, "Oh, I went to Germany. For 6 months I stayed. We used to drive 100 kilometers from our office to have lunch in your restaurant." Then I say, "Where do you stay?" "Oh, I stay in Juhu." "Then have you been to our temple?" "Yeah, I don't know, but many years back I've been once." They would not even go to the temple, which is very next stone throw from their house. But when they go to Germany, they will drive 100 kilometers to have lunch in a ISKCON temple. So, Srila Prabhupada, the founder of this movement, he told, "I'll be known as an acharya in the future who has started a worldwide movement from the kitchen." I started a worldwide movement from the kitchen, that is what I told. So anyhow, it's Krishna Prasadam, that has to be accepted. We are not just into being vegetarians. Our movement is not a vegetarian movement, It is a movement of being a Krishnatarian. So one can have anything, whatever you want. You can cook it in a very nice way and then offer it to Krishna and accept it. And Krishna likes only sattvic things. So now, after talking about this non-vegetarian, being avoiding meat or no meat is one of the regulative principles. The second thing is no intoxication. Intoxication destroys the pillar of austerity. Nobody can be austere if he is intoxicated. Austerity means to follow certain vows which you have taken. Anybody who takes vows that today or tomorrow onwards, some people these days, tomorrow onwards I am going to do daily half an hour of exercise. What happens? Tomorrow they get up late. No, not today. Tomorrow onwards. So one loses the determination to perform austerity. Because until unless you take some difficulties in life, you can never progress. Even in your material life also. Until unless you accept difficulties, you cannot progress. And to accept difficulties, tapasya, determination is required. And the determination is destroyed by intoxication. Once I remember there was a New Year's party in our college. And I was the only person who was not drinking. Once my friend came with a cigarette in hand and sat next to me. And he was crying. It was New Year's Eve. He was crying and crying. I told him, "What happened to you?" He shows me the cigarette and he starts crying. I told him, "What happened? Why are you crying?" He said, "Ye mera aakhri cigarette hai yaar." I told him, "You know, somebody wants it." He said, "No, no. I have taken a vow. This is my last cigarette. This is my New Year resolution." And I told him, "You are drunk. I will find you smoking again tomorrow or day after tomorrow. Don't take stupid vows when you are drunk. A drunkard cannot take any vows. It is only just his mental speculation only." I told, no, what you are saying? Here, in this place, he starts standing and, you know, like a drunkard would speak. "I will take a vow that I am not going to smoke it. This is my last cigarette." Start crying again. Then what happened? After a few days, again he started smoking. So the vows of a drunkard cannot be believed. You cannot trust him. Why? Because when somebody intoxicates, intoxication destroys determination for austerities. Not only that, we know it is so harmful for our body, harmful for our mind, harmful for our consciousness. That is why we should give up intoxication. Intoxication involves a cigarette and different alcohol, drugs, etc., etc. But you find that the Hare Krishnas, we also try to avoid and even advise everyone to avoid tea and coffee also. We say, "Oh, why? It is very natural, no?" But it has become a natural intoxicant. That is the problem. Actually, this tea and coffee was not there in this land also, even in Ceylon, even in India. It was not there. Nobody used to drink any tea and coffee. But the Britishers had a green plan. They wanted to convert all the agriculture crops into cash crops. Now here, nice wonderful rice was growing. And what the Britishers do? They told, "If you grow rice, you only get 1,000, few thousand rupees. But if you grow tea and coffee, what will happen? You will get more money. So stop growing rice and wheat. Grow tea and coffee." They now said, "Okay, I get more money. They start growing." Then what they did? They took all the tea and coffee to England, and what they did, they processed it and sold it back. To sell them, you have to have a market. How will they have the market? Then they use the process. They distribute tea and coffee free first. And then gradually when people got addicted, they started pricing it more and more. Exactly what happens in colleges, how the drug peddlers sell the drugs. First they give free to the students. When these students get addicted to the drugs, what happened? They charge more money. And that is what exactly has happened. Tea contains tannin and coffee contains caffeine. And they are intoxicants. Once I remember, when I was with talking to one person in my hometown, he was a Sanskrit college professor. We were discussing about Bhagavad Gita. And he was talking something, I was talking something. And an argument and discussion went on for a couple of hours. And after 2 hours, he told, "Oh," he told my mother, See, get me coffee, please. My head is paining. Then I asked him a question. Is your head paining because of not drinking coffee? Is it because of drinking coffee? He was a very intelligent person, understood. And I told him, I am not drinking coffee. My head is not paining. Why your head is paining? Your head is paining because of, it is not because you're not drunk coffee. It is because you're addicted to drinking coffee. It is addiction which made your head pain, not because you're not drunk it. So this has to be understood. That is, when somebody gets addicted to intoxication, it is very difficult to give up. And one becomes a servant of it. You suppose you are addicted to something, you don't get it, you go mad out of it. Just a few rupees coffee will make you jump up and down. And a few rupees of alcohol bottle makes him mad. He becomes frustrated if he doesn't get it. And once he gets it, he becomes so happy, but only for further frustration. That is why no intoxication, no meat eating, no intoxication. Somebody may say, oh, it's so difficult to give it up. That is why the Hare Krishnas, they have a plan. We have got herbal coffee and herbal tea. I don't know whether your gift shop has it or not. If it is not there, we'll try to send it from India and we'll keep herbal coffee, herbal tea. You can, Mother Goindu can get tea in the temple, person also can arrange for the devotees to have herbal coffee and herbal tea, which is healthy for you. It's actually ready from so many other diseases also. So anyhow, no intoxication, no meat eating, no intoxication. The third one is no gambling. No gambling is also very important. Especially people have gambled, they are so much addicted to gambling. Especially when festivals come, people get together and start gambling. I don't know what's the position here. Especially in Bombay, during Janmashtami time, in the clubs are filled with people. They sit whole night on the day of Janmashtami to play cards. Whole night. And everybody in the world, in all temples of Hare Krishna, they are doing kirtan. And there in the clubs, what they are doing? They are playing cards. And you ask them, what are they doing? Celebrating Janmashtami. Just imagine. It so happened once, I asked a person, why don't you come? He said, if I get time, I will come. Okay, I was waiting for him, he did not come. Next day morning, I called him. He said, I was very busy. I was celebrating Janmashtami. Where? In my club. What is it? What kind of celebration you had? Then he told Swamiji, you don't mind bad, but our way of celebrating Janmashtami is this, because we are Gujaratis, no? There's Gujarati way of celebrating Janmashtami. So by playing cards and gambling. So this is not good. And not only this, this gambling is going to destroy what? Truthfulness. When truthfulness is not there, there is a chaos in the entire world. The pillar of religion of truthfulness is destroyed by gambling. Even gambling just doesn't mean playing cards or going to casinos or something like that. Gambling also means not to take up Krishna consciousness seriously. You're gambling with time. That means, gambling means what? To depend on something which is indifferent. That is called gambling. You may win, may not win, but still you expect that I'll win. So what is the most unexpected thing? Death. And you are gambling with that. Why? How are you gambling? By involving oneself in sense enjoyment and forgetting Krishna. Anytime death can come, actually you are gambling with death. If you don't take a Krishna consciousness seriously. Now going further, the fourth one, illicit sex. So this has to be avoided. Because illicit sex will destroy the pillar of cleanliness. The cleanliness of the body, the physical cleanliness, and mental cleanliness. Now it has become such a rampant these days among the young boys and the girls, even in the entire society, that they just think, okay, we'll just live like animals. And by involving sexual affairs without getting married and outside marriage is considered to be a very great sin. And the young minds are completely bombarded and they are encouraged. You put on any TV serial, it is full of this thing only. One, somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's wife, somebody's husband. It's all just being encouraged and they are being presenting it as if it is very natural. And you can go ahead with this. But it is the most sinful thing. The young brains are bombarded because by doing so, the whole society becomes very weak. Morally, they become very weak. Emotionally, they become weak. Practically, all the 90% of the miseries which these days people are experiencing is because of this illicit sex. And that is why one should give it up. Because one cannot be moral, one cannot be truthful. And because of that, what happens? So many emotional problems come. Physical problems can be avoided by going to a doctor and taking some medicine. What when somebody emotionally is hurt? Then, what is the remedy for that? There is no remedy. Once the heart is broken. It takes long time of counseling to get the person back to normal. And it is not happening because of this being encouraged. Especially through the TV, through the internet. And his big young minds and people's minds are bombarded. The most unnatural thing is being proposed and propagated as being very natural. So in the name of parties, or the name of different festivals, like these days the Navratri is going on, the Garba is going on. What is this Garba? What is this Navratri? Such a sacred thing, which is supposed to be meant for worshipping Durga Devi. And think of Lord Ram being victorious of Ravan. What is happening? They are just destroying the country. On the name of Christmas, on the name of... Do you think what happens on the day of Christmas? People get drunk. Do you think Jesus will be happy with that? No. Durga Devi will be happy with what is going on in the name of Garba these days? No. They will not be happy. Because it is just has become a breeding place of illicit sex. That is why a devotee should be very careful of their children, of their wives, their husband, of their entire family, to protect oneself from this kind of contamination. And how you can do that, somebody asked me when I was taking a Bhagavata course exactly a couple of years back in the same time. How can I control the children? I told you, you have devotees Garba, put their Hare Krishna mantra and make sure that they are properly dressed. Naturally they want to dance, let them dance. So this is how we should design ways and means to avoid these four illicit activities. Now somebody may say, oh gee, it's too difficult. It is not difficult if you want. Because you got Krishna behind you. If you have Krishna with you, difficult things become easy. If you don't have Krishna, easy things become difficult. You find thousands of people, millions of people accepting Krishna consciousness, following the four regulative principles. Where are they getting the strength from? It's because of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. That somebody may say, Prabhuji, you've spoken so many things today. All these days the course was very good. But today after hearing all these things, I feel it's really tough for me. It is not tough. Actually, you want to say, Prabhuji, if I take up all these things, what about my life? What if my enjoyment? But be sure, Krishna consciousness is the real enjoyment. Physically, it gives 100% satisfaction because you are taking Krishna prasad, you never fall sick. Number two, because of a regulated life, you never fall sick. Physically, 100% satisfaction. That is why you find devotees, they are more healthy and they are more happier, they are more cheerful. But there's non-devotees, those who don't follow the regulative principles, their face is so dull. To make their face bright, they have to put so much of cosmetic on their face. But devotees, they don't use any cosmetic, but still they look bright and happy. When in your times, there was a heading, saffron rose beaming smiles, you'll find them on the streets. These are Hare Krishnas. So this is how. People can, they become... A person becomes beautiful because of being cheerful, not because of applying cosmetics. So that happens only when you are emotionally completely satisfied. So completely, mind is satisfied, 100% satisfied because you are among people who are not envious. When you go to some of the parties, in the parties you smile artificially, they smile at each other. And after the party gets over, on the way back home, the wife is telling the husband, this lady, she told me this thing, she's just showing off. The whole talk, what happens from the so-called party you attend and come back home, on the way it is only expression of one's enviousness, grudges, that is what happens. Why? Because in any materialistic party, everybody wants to show off that I am superior to you. But in the association of devotees, the devotees want to serve you. They don't want to show that you are superior to you. And that is the only way one can be emotionally happy. When you are in the people, among people who have service attitude. If you are with the person who is lording, who wants to lord over you, you can never be happy. Your mind will be always in disturbance. And there, in the materialistic society, what happens? People want to show off. It is just mental torture. You are not busy. Mind will be happy and satisfied only when you attend the satsang programs. Because emotional satisfaction is there. Number three, physical, mental, intellectual. There is no philosophy equal to Krishna consciousness. Bhagavad Gita is the best philosophy. There is answer to questions, answer to all the questions which you can ask. Intellectually, a person is 100% satisfied when he reads Bhagavad Gita, when he hears about Bhagavad Gita. Number four, spiritual satisfaction. The soul is satisfied. Why? Because it is getting its tasty food of the holy name. If you don't eat one day, it is trouble for the body, isn't it? For so many years, many millions and millions of lifetimes, we have not fed the soul. What is the food for the soul? The holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is why when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are spiritually totally satisfied. So Krishna consciousness is 100% satisfaction, physical, emotional, intellectual and spiritual. You are not losing anything. Rather, if at all you are losing one thing, that is suffering. So you should be happy losing suffering, isn't it? So take up Krishna consciousness very seriously and make your life very successful. And I thank you very much for attending this course for all these days. And I should give a real good comment to all of you. I have been doing this course for the past 17 years since I joined ISKCON in 97. But I never found such sincere audience. Maybe because of situations in Bombay, people come, if you say come at 8 o'clock, then they start the course at 8 o'clock there. They come by 8:30, 8:45. And I take the class till 10 o'clock because of traveling and all these things. And even though they want to come sometimes, not if 100 people attend the course, then you will find that register for the course, you will find hardly 5 or 10 people would have attended all the days. But here, 100% attendance was there for all the days. It's practically happened for the first time. Maybe though it is Ravana's place, you find good people here. So thank you very much. Any questions, any comments before we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? I hope you have done the homework. How many of you have done the homework? Okay, most of you have done the homework. So we'll chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra at the end. So some announcements are there. By the time some announcements are there, any questions, please do ask. Any questions? Yes.
Lord Buddha also reincarnation of Krishna, we understand.
Okay.
And where Lord Buddha teaches non-violence, where Krishna is teaching about to kill the enemies to Arjuna right now.
Nice question. Lord Krishna is teaching violence, Buddha taught non-violence, and the devotees of both of them do exactly opposite. So, how do you understand it, isn't it? In fact, the devotees, they are not even living cockroaches. And on the other hand, you have Lord Krishna who told 5,
Arjuna wanted to be peaceful. Now the devotees are Lord Krishna saying, you want to be very peaceful.
So I answered question two levels. Number one is about Buddha. Krishna incarnation is Buddha. It is said in the Jayadeva Goswami Stotra that how Pashu Ghatam, he could not tolerate people. Nindasi Yajna Vidhe Rahaha Pashu Ghatam Snabaiti Pashyasi Samita Samam Bhavatapam Keshava Drita Bhokta Sharira Jay Jagadish Hare. When he said that at the time when Buddha appeared, there was so much going on in the name of rituals. And they were cutting the animals in the name of sacrifice, satisfying their tongues. So people were following the Vedic literatures only for the sake of following the Vedic literatures. They were not doing the goal of Veda. They were just cutting the animals like anything. Then the Lord had to come and say, stop. No Veda. The purpose of Buddha's incarnation is to tell that, is to stop the misuse of Veda. That is the purpose of Buddha's incarnation. Now, of course, I don't want to speak of Buddhism now. Then people asked Buddha, what about God? Then Buddha kept quiet. How can he say there is no God? Because he himself is God. But his silence, people misunderstood as there is no God. In this way, the atheistic philosophy of Buddhism started. Buddhism is an atheistic philosophy. In the philosophy of Buddhism, there is no acceptance of God. If they say Buddha is God, they are actually speaking a philosophy which is against their own philosophy. There is no Buddha as God. It is only Buddhatva. But of course, ignorance is bliss. Yeah, the Buddhists, they don't know their own philosophy. Actually, Buddhism, there is no God. The basic tenets of Buddhism is atheistic. It is a non-Vedic atheism. Now, going further, your question is about Krishna is recommending violence. Violence is not bad, but the purpose for which the violence is used, that is important. Actually, nothing in this world is bad, provided it is used properly. Non-violence for a bad purpose is bad. Violence for a good purpose is good. Like a mother beating the child, for the child to improve, for discipline the child, it is good. But the same mother showing non-violence unto the child, that will make the child more mischievous and more naughty, and ultimately uncontrolled, the child will become very bad. So Krishna instructing Arjuna for violence is like a doctor cutting the stomach of a patient. What is the purpose? Remove the cancer. So there's nothing wrong in that. So we should understand the ultimate purpose rather than the activity itself. Okay? So this is what I can answer your question. What is the time exactly?
8:35.
Okay. More questions? Yes.
Any difference between Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah. In the morning Bhagavatam class, I was talking about that. I'll summarize the difference between them. Bhagavad Gita, it is by Krishna, spoken by Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken about Krishna. Now, Srimad Bhagavad Gita talks about what to do. What to do, the instruction. And Bhagavatam talks about how to do. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, think of me as death. Then the Bhagavatam talks about Bhishma, how he glorified Krishna and left the body. So when you talk about how to do, you should talk about how a person has done in the past. That not only gives you an idea of how to do, but also gives an inspiration. The third difference between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, where Bhagavad Gita ends, Bhagavatam starts. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Saradharman Prityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Bhagavatam starts with Dharma Purushkaitu Purvam Nimatsaranam Radham. So it is actually one sense continuation, in one sense. And logistic difference, Bhagavad Gita has got 700 verses, Bhagavatam has got 18,000 verses. The 18,000. And Bhagavad Gita is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And the Bhagavatam is the experience of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Experience, when you, like for example, I say, chant Hare Krishna. You chant it. You tell your friend your experience of chanting. Isn't it? So, the Bhagavatam is full of experience of different devotees in connection with Krishna. Like Bhishma, Kunti, the gopis, Parikshma, Subhadeva Goswami. All are devotees. It's an outpour of devotees' devotion in the form of words, that is Bhagavatam, prayers. This way. That is why Bhagavatam is rasa. Bhagavad Gita is tattva, philosophy. So after understanding the philosophy, the purposes of philosophy is not philosophy itself. The purpose is to experience the rasa. That is in the Bhagavatam. Yes. Any more questions? Yes. Next question. Can you explain about akarma a little bit more? I'll give the whole daily lifestyle. Certain things I intentionally don't speak in the course because I want it is when it is spoken as an answer to a question that goes more deeper. That is why I wait for those questions. Let us talk about starting from sleep. Sleep is also an activity. A devotee, when he sleeps, though it is the most ignorant activity, sleeping is actually more of ignorance. Even that activity is akarma. Why? Because devotee sleeps so that morning he can be fresh to serve Krishna. The sleep also becomes spiritual. Morning he gets up and then he takes bath, he cleans, goes to toilet and all, shaves, cleans and all, and puts dress, this activity. The devotee does that. How can I go in front of Krishna dirty? Because you have a photographer altar in your house. You cannot go in front of the Supreme Lord in a dirty way. So even you're taking bath becomes spiritual because the intention behind it is what? I don't want to go in front of Krishna in dirty way. In taking bath, wearing dress, that becomes spiritual. Okay? Now you went and in paid obeisance, you did some whatever your puja, whatever you discussed, you have done that. Now after that, you chant and read. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra and you're reading. As we discussed today, we were supposed to do. Because you have to face the whole day. Whole day is actually a battlefield. Your office, your family, it's all battlefield actually. It's not a joke. You earn one single rupee, it's not a joke. And not only earning, it's a joke. So spending is also not a joke. It's more difficult. So it's a battlefield. And you have to prepare. And for that, it is like an armor. Right? Chanting Hare Krishna mantra and reading Bhagavad Gita is like an armor. Right? So that you can face this world. Now you take the breakfast. Krishna Prasadam. It is Krishna Prasadam which nourishes your body and the soul. Okay. Now, after that, you go to office. They say, why you should earn? A materialistic person says, if I don't earn, how will I run my family? How will I take care of my house? Because Krishna is in your house. And you have to pay the bills of your house. But now it is no more your house. It is Krishna's house because he is the Supreme Lord. So when a devotee goes, oh, to the office, I need to earn money so that I can buy flowers for Krishna. I can buy dresses for Krishna. And you may say, oh, ultimately you are taking care of your family, no? What is your family doing, your wife doing? She is cooking for Krishna, isn't it? So taking care of the devotee is also service for Krishna. So for that you need to get some money. And you are going to the office for actually collecting the paraphernalia so that you can worship the Lord. So you going to the office also becomes spiritual. Can you come back home, spending time with your wife and children? Because they are devotees. They have served Krishna. To please them, that is also spiritual. So the whole life of a devotee, it becomes akarma just by keeping Krishna in the center. If you remove Krishna, then sleeping also, eating also, everything becomes material and so dry, and every activity becomes a cause of our frustration. Children become the cause of frustration. Wife becomes the cause of frustration. The job becomes a cause of frustration. Everything becomes a cause of frustration. And you say, I'm totally fed up. Let me just go and watch TV or go to somewhere and be peaceful. That's what people think. But when being Krishna, everything falls in its place. Like you throw a stone on a pond. Very calm water is there in the pond. Nice ripples come. You throw another stone and the center is somewhere else. Then ripples come and they'll clash and becomes very ugly. But if you throw the stone at the same point, the ripples become more nice. When you keep Krishna in center and conduct your activities, that is called akarma. As simple as that. Yes.
Can you enlighten us more on the ISKCON, the background, the history when it started, the founder members, how this whole concept of ISKCON started?
Okay.
We know about Sri Prabhupada, but still, we should be having some guru, and we want to know a little bit about it.
Okay. ISKCON, though it seems to be a modernized organization with high tech management and so many different international level this thing, but still, the roots are based in the teachings of Krishna given in Bhagavad Gita. And the same teachings were given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by practicing it. I told in today's lecture. So in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teachings, there appeared many acharyas. First disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were known as Shad Goswamis. The teachings of Shad Goswamis were delivered to us in the modern world in the recent past by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son is Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, who became the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. He instructed Srila Prabhupada to teach the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita around the world, especially the English speaking language. And that is where Srila Prabhupada in 1922 met Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And from 1922 onwards till 1966, Srila Prabhupada 65, he prepared how to execute the orders of his spiritual master. And in this way, he was waiting for an opportunity. He tried to preach in India. He established League of Devotees. But in India, people were so pious that spirituality was very far for them. Srila Prabhupada thought, whichever house Srila Prabhupada went, they used to wash his feet, do all kinds of things, but would never accept chanting, would never surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada thought, Indians are so much into something important, so let me take this knowledge to the best. Srimati Maharaj, she was the managing director of Steam, Sindhya Steam Shipping Company at the time. So somehow Prabhupada convinced her to give a ticket to go to America. It's a cargo vessel. The cargo vessel called Passages are allowed. So Prabhupada got the ship in Calcutta, and the first stop after Calcutta was in Colombo. And I heard this is where he received the Bhagavatam in Bombay. So he stayed for 2 days, and then Srila Prabhupada went to the west in the ship, America in the ship. On the way, he had 2 heart attacks. He thought, third one gone. The third night, Krishna came in the dreams, in a boat with all the incarnations. And he told, I have a mission to accomplish through your hands. Prabhupada landed in Boston Harbor. And he stayed, he had a great struggle in the initial days. But it was his purity of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, his total dependence on this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, by which he attracted few hippies. And day surrendered to Srila Prabhupada because he, as an old man, he gave them so much of love and affection, and they thought that we need to surrender to him. To such an extent, one of the disciples of Prabhupada told, I was this person speaking to him, he told me that at that time we accepted Krishna is God not because Bhagavad Gita says, because Prabhupada said. That much amount of surrender they had to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, first he brought all this, his first set of disciples to India, 12 of them came. And in India they started doing big pandal programs. Then the Indians started thinking, Srila Prabhupada called them dancing white elephants. And all these people said, hey, just see, a foreigner wearing sari. Oh, just see, these people are speaking Bhagavad Gita. And in this way, the movement picked up. And he established 7 principles of ISKCON, 7 objectives of ISKCON. The first is to teach systematically Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to people in general so that they can become the society at large, so that society can be peaceful. And to accomplish that, the books need to be distributed. And to establish that movement, he established his temples. In this way, Srila Prabhupada established this whole movement with one purpose, so that people will become Krishna conscious based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So one last question again. If there are any questions. Yes.
I think we missed the point about Kala. Kala.
I know. Kala. Time I am, the destroyer of the world, Krishna says that I am time. The most powerful feature in the entire world is time. They may invent time bombs and all these things, but ultimately time is a destroyer. Mrityuho sarvaharasyam. One thing you cannot hold on, that is this watch. Goes on, isn't it? You cannot stop it. How can you hold? You cannot hold it. It just goes straight to the most powerful thing in this world is time. It takes it's pushing everybody towards death. It is just pushing towards death. Just imagine yourself, you are standing and the time is pushing and it's towards death. And what we are doing? Closing our eyes. Time means actually death. Every second gone means one second you are nearer to death. That is why we have to use this time properly in Krishna's service. He said in the Bhagavatam, Ayurharati vaipumsan udhyannastam chennasau tasyartya chaunita uttama shloka vartaya. Every day the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, one day gone. One day gone means one day near to death. But for a devotee of Krishna, there is no influence of time. You may say, how? They also become old, they also die. How death is not there for a devotee? It is like this. For a child who is studying very nicely in the class, though he is passing the entire year, the whole year he is passed, but it is with the purpose of going to the next standard. For when a child who has not studied properly, the whole year gets wasted. That is how for that child, there is no influence of time. Even the time is acting on both the people in the same way. The same way devotee and the non-devotee. Both are influenced by time. But for a devotee, he is just waiting for the death so that he can go back to the spiritual world. For a non-devotee, for a person who is materialistic, for him, his whole life is to take birth again. That is why there is influence of time on a devotee of Krishna, on a non-devotee of Krishna. There is no influence of time on a devotee of Krishna. Nita uttama shloka vartaya. Because after death, there is no more life, no more material life. He goes back home, back to the spiritual world. As I have told, if you remember, the purpose of entering into a college is to get out of the college, isn't it? In the same way, the purpose of taking human life is to go back home, back to God. It's not to take birth again in this world. That is how my time influences and we can get out of it. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Anta kale cha mame yusparam uktva kalevara yana prayati vadbhavam nati yastitta samshaya. One who thinks of me in the time of death, again, doesn't have to take birth in this world. And there is no doubt about it. So the best use of time is to engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So we stop here. Hare Krishna.